Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I wish you all happy Easter. There was a time at the dawn of the world when the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But Adam, the man in the story, hid himself among the trees. "Where are you?" the Lord called him. And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked." Adam refers here to his loss of holiness. "And I hid," he said. Ages later, there was another garden and another man. This man did not hide. He who had said to Lazarus, "Come forth," himself emerged from the tomb that held him. He stood in the light of the day, and unlike Adam, he was neither naked nor ashamed. No, this Jesus, son of Mary, was clothed in the many-colored coat of glory, which His Heavenly Father had given him as a reward for his obedience. In the splendor of his risen body, he rivaled the sunlight. The crucified Jesus, now made Lord and the Messiah, stood forth and said, like Moses at the burning bush, "Here I am." He stood ready, in other words, to sanctify the world. Unlike Jesus, who is Lord and Christ, man often tries to run out on his duties. In an old legend from Catalonia in Spain, we hear how the tiny hero Padre Pentefet got lost in the country one day. A kindly ox swallowed him to protect him. When Pontifet heard his parents calling, "Where are you?" he replied, "I am in the belly of the ox, where it does not snow and it does not rain." What Pentefet did was run away from life. It was as though he had returned to his mother's womb there. The prophet Jonah ran away from the responsibility in the same way. He did not want to do the job God had chosen for him, preach God's love to the people of Nineveh. As he fled in fear, a whale swallowed him up, but his luck didn't last. He was thrown up on the shore and had to go to Nineveh anyway. That is the way it is when you oppose God. There is no place to hide. Jesus knew the Jonah story well. In referring to it, he used it as a sign of himself, just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will spend 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. But Jesus did not hide in the heart of the earth. Even in death, he was active, going in the spirit to bring the good news to the souls of all who had died before him. Having done his work with the dead, he came forth to press his advantage over death and hell, both of which he had conquered. He had a further work to do with the living, and so rose up to do it. It was a strange war that Jesus had been through. As the poet Francis Thompson explains, The slain had the gain and the victor had the rod. A smashing victory for Christ the loser, while Satan the winner was utterly defeated. By his words, he explains this. And by his wounds, holy and glorious, may he preserve us who is Christ the Lord. That is the basic message of the resurrection, dear friends. We look for protection at the hands, the bloodied hands of Christ, the one who did not run away. Living in the 21st century is a far from easy business. All about us, there is the attitude that no one is to blame for his own carelessness, his own ignorance, his own wrongdoing. This is the era of the best machine-made products installed by the sloppiest workmanship in human history. And it is the age of firing people by mail or through a secretary because employers cannot look them in the eye and give reasons. It is the era when people get more exercise and passing the buck than they do walking. Sometimes it seems that the words that ought to be inspired on the side of our coins are, "Yeah, am I my brother's keeper?" And on the other, "The woman gave me the fruit and I ate it." We are fast becoming a nation of, a generation of quitters, a people who will do anything under the sun except following through the consequences of their own actions. Jesus of Nazareth had a task to finish and had finished it. His vocation was to be perfectly obedient to his Father's will, even though it meant his death on a cross. He answered this call, never looking to left or right. In spite of the cruelty of the evil and thoughtless men, he continued to say to his Father what Satan could not say, "I will serve." When the Apostle Paul was speaking of this perfect obedience which led to Jesus' humiliation and death, he said, "Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend and every tongue proclaim to the glory of the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord." Dear friends, let us look at some of the events that led to the acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ on the morning he rose from the dead. First, several good women who had been his close friends in life went to his tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. When they got to the garden, the huge stone was rolled away from the door of the cave-like tomb. They discovered that there was no corpse of Jesus on the sandstone slab where they had laid him. Then they saw a youth with the appearance of a heavenly messenger in the tomb. The messenger said to them quite simply, "He has been raised up. He is not here." As the story continues, the account of Christ's rising up from the dead is a kind of mystery story. Jesus did not rise from the dead to provide us with a puzzle. However, he meant to give us life, to make us alive in him. You best get the idea of this in the meeting between the risen Jesus and Mary Magdalene in the garden. She sees him but does not know him, for she is weeping. taking him for a groundskeeper, she pleads for Jesus' body. Our Lord then calls her by name to his Mary. She answers, Rabboni, my master. This is the moment that matters. Now she can say, I have seen the Lord. Dear friends, those are the events of the first Easter morning. They are an end and a beginning. An end to grief, to death, to sin that caused the Master's death, a beginning of glory and new life. Notice this though. As a rumor or report, the resurrection story is meaningless. It signifies nothing to Peter and the other disciples at this point. They have only heard about it. They neither believe nor disbelieve. Mary, however, has seen the risen Lord, spoken to him. For her, everything is different now. She has acknowledged him as Lord and Master, and this commitment affects her whole way of living. That is the way it is with you and me. We either know about Christ's resurrection or we know it. He has called out to you, Joe, Helen, Manuel. Are you hiding or have you heard him? Have you heard him clearly enough to say, Master? Have you heard clearly enough to recognize his presence in every act of love? May God bless us. Amen.